So there are many, many lessons that we can learn from Jesus, the one we follow. Sometimes really challenging, sometimes seemingly impossible lessons we're called to try to begin to learn and embrace. And Jesus' life was so amazing and awe-inspiring. It's not only that it makes it a challenge for us to follow, it does for sure, but more than that, the amazing life, the great man, the Savior he was, it's really what makes it worth it. All the more important that we seek to follow after him, that we become his disciple. We're reading more this week from the Gospels of Jesus, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." One of the beautiful things about the Bible, I think, is that you can look into the scriptures and there are multiple things that God might be trying to tell us. There's layers upon layers of meaning in the scriptures for us. And you can pick up the scriptures and find comfort, encouragement, instruction. If you ever look in a children's Bible, and you read a story in the Bible, there's always this a little lesson, a little takeaway that this story is all about. And you read the story about Jesus and Peter on the water, and the moral of the story is always that you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, or you got a little lesson on faith. Don't doubt, just have faith. All of which are fine lessons for us, though not at all the message for us today. In our story for today, Jesus gets done feeding the 5,000, and then he sends the disciples out, and they go out on a boat while Jesus goes up on the mountain by himself to pray. In the meanwhile, the disciples out on the boat are starting to feel the winds blow and the waves crashing around them, and they in their little boat are beginning to feel afraid. And this is something that I think we can all relate to. All of us have storms that blow into our lives. If you haven't really yet, then it's more than likely that at some point in life you will. It seems a part of life that we find, no matter how careful, no matter how secure we may feel, the waves may start crashing around us and we're forced to weather the storm. And this is really where the lesson lies, I think, for us, where the message is for us this week, anyway. What about these storms in our lives? There's something about these kinds of trials, challenges in our lives that can begin to clarify things for us. We may forget how much we depend on God when we're feeling safe, secure, before the storm. It's often in the most challenging times of life when tragedy strikes, when we're forced to deal with the reality of illness or injury, job loss, or the end of a relationship, and we're reminded how much we really need God. And it seems it seems the presence of Christ can become more apparent, like Jesus is closer than ever before. Jesus, hearing their cries, knowing they're afraid, that the Savior that he is, he begins to walk out toward them. Now, this is the kind of thing that should maybe be expected of Jesus, one who has command over the wind and the waves. But Peter, the disciple who is always headstrong, always charging into things, and at this moment afraid, calls out, if it's really you, Jesus, command me to come out on the water. And Jesus says, come. And to Peter's credit, you remember, he steps out, and it's a step or two in, and the storm raging around him, the water rolling underneath, it's too much, and he begins to sink. And it's then that Peter is ready to pray. Lord, save me, he cries. Lord, save me. And Jesus, reaching out to pick him up, says to him, oh, you little faith. And this is where I really start to resonate with Peter. Little faith. I'm not so sure about the charging onto the water thing, but little faith. The mystic Rumi once wrote that we live with a deep secret that sometimes we know and then not, and then we know it again. Little faith. And faith works like that. We're in and out of faith, it seems. Some days we're strong and storm or stone no storm, it's like we could walk on water, and other days we may just sink. And Jesus, reaching down for us, seems to say with some affection still, oh, you little faith. The Christian life has been described as a movement from the shallow end of the pool to the deep end, from the shallow end to the deep end. It's too often our tendency to stick close to the shallows, but real depth of faith is what prepares us for the storm. The author and professor Dallas Willard often talked about how what matters in life is not the accomplishments that we achieve, but the person that we become, how the soul is formed. And he always spoke in this kind of dry, very monotone, academic way. No dramatic stories or radical, catchy advice for the listeners. But he had something deeper, something really far more important to teach us. Instead, he spoke about the slow, unglamorous building of our character, the slow, unglamorous building of our character, drawing closer to Jesus in prayer and reading of Scripture first before the storm. It takes this slow growth and discipleship to begin to move from the shallows to real depth of faith. Faith in the God who can help us endure whatever storms that life may put in our way. There was a helicopter pilot who flew from an aircraft carrier in the Pacific, and he told his story. He said he was flying the helicopter back to the ship when a blinding fog rolled in. And flying at a low altitude, he knew that a single mistake would plunge him and the crew into the ocean. And worse yet, he was beginning to experience a complete loss of balance. And this loss of balance or vertigo was so bad that despite the instruments that he was reading on the helicopter, he said that I was certain that I was just lying on my side. And he said, for 15 minutes, I flew the helicopter by its instruments, fighting the urge to turn it according to my feeling. And when we finally broke safely through the fog, I was deeply thankful that I had been trained to rely on my instruments rather than on my feelings. And this is, in many ways, what people living in faith are called to do, to recognize that there is something deeper that faith can reach, that we don't have to be blown about by every wind. We don't just trust the surface emotions, the shallows, but look to the truths that run deeper, to the steady hand of Jesus who guides us. There's a great old hymn that you may know. It's called It Is Well With My Soul. It's one of my favorites. The story behind the song is powerful, I think. The writer of the hymn was a man named Horatio Spafford, who was a lawyer and a businessman in Chicago with a family, a wife, Anna, and five children. And they were not strangers to tragedy in their lives. Their young son died of pneumonia in 1871. And then in that same year, much of their business was lost in the great Chicago fire. And then not long after that, Mr. Spafford's wife and their four daughters took a ship crossing the Atlantic from the U.S. to Europe. And though Mr. Spafford had planned to go with his family, he had to stay back with his business, and he planned to join them in Europe before long. And a few days after the ship departed, he received a telegram from his wife that said, "Saved, alone. What shall I do?" There had been a shipwreck, and all four of their daughters perished. And Horatio quickly, he boarded another ship to England. And then as it was passing over the waters, he began to write his words, this old hymn: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." The fruit of the faithful life is that our soul can be all right. The most important part of ourselves can be all right when it seems like everything else in our world is all wrong. For those of us with little faith, who are still yet dipping our toes in, working slowly on stepping out into the depths of faith, there is a comfort in the gospel of Jesus, and even more, it seems, in the very character of Jesus Christ to reach out to those of us with little faith. Charles Spurgeon told the story in one of his devotionals about how there once was this king who upon occasion entertained all the beggars of the city, and it was quite a sight. And the king would be surrounded by his royal guests, who were dressed in their finest apparel, and at the same table would be the beggars in their rags. And one day, one of the royal guests soiled his silken robe so badly that it was too dirty to wear. And his heart was broken because he could not go to the feast with the king, and he sat and he wept in disappointment until he had an idea. Why not go as a beggar dressed in rags? His fine silken garment was ruined, but he could put on some rags, and at least he would be present with the king for the feast, and determined to see the king's face and sit at the king's table, he entered the banquet as a beggar. And Charles Spurgeon ends his devotional with this sentence. He says, My soul has done this on many occasions, gone to Jesus as a beggar. And I said, and he said, I beg you to do the same. If you cannot come as a saint, come as a sinner. And both will sit at the table with the king. The great good news of the gospel story for us is that we have a Savior who comes to us at our weakest, whether sinner or saint, little to no faith. And in the midst of the storms, the presence of Christ, the one who has command over the wind and the waves, is with us in all things, reaching out for us, pulling us always closer to his side. Amen. Well, those who are serving communion, please come forward.
the midst of the chaos of this world, and there's certainly a lot of that. Storms raging around us in the news, in the world, and oftentimes in our lives as well. This table is one of those places where we can check in, and I love the description of the instruments in an airplane or a helicopter, a place where we can check, and it reminds us of what's real and who we are and whose we are and how we can manage to live in this world. And that's why I'm so thankful for this table and for this time. Water factored in pretty significantly into the text tonight and into Brian's sermon. And water often was a symbol for chaos in Scripture. We see it actually in the very first verses of the Bible. When God's Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, it was all chaos. There was no order, and God brought order and creation out of that. And so anytime you see water, storms, we see this idea of chaos. God brings order out of chaos. Jesus brings order to our lives. And he doesn't do that through power or strength. He does it through love and through sacrifice and through his humility. And as we gather at this table tonight, we remember what's real. We remember who Jesus was, what he's done for us. And we participate in that. And we come to this the table of the King. And we don't come, typically, we don't come as saints, but we come as beggars, recognizing our need for him. And so as we gather at this table tonight, we remember that night when Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." We remember how he took a cup also, and after giving thanks, gave it to them as well and said, "This is a symbol of the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it always in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord, as we gather again at this table, we come humbly recognizing our need for you. We come checking in so that we might remember who you are and who we are and what's real in this world, so that we might be confident, even amidst the storms of life, that you are with us and that you're in the boat. And for that reason, we have nothing to fear. Bless us as we come and receive these symbols now, for we ask it in Jesus' name.